And welcome back to episode 117 of the Weekly Tech Rant with me, Jay.
And me, Carl.
I nearly ran out of intro music there, Carlos. I was coughing in the background on the mute button.
Abort.
Oh, yes. Welcome back to our final show of 2022. And the winter lurgy has hit hard. As you can probably tell from my voice, I have come down with a dose of whatever is going around. Yeah, well, it's not the flu. It's not COVID. It's probably something else. So who knows what it might be. But yes, welcome to our roundup show. We're going to talk this week off script. We are looking more at the kind of roundup of the things that we've, you know, been talking about this year, the big stories, the tech we've liked, the tech we wanted, the tech we do want, as well as a game roundup as well. And, you know, just looking ahead to 2023. So join us as we kind of have, you know, a bit of a reminisce. And yeah, walk down, you know, what's coming in the next year. So, Carl, how are you getting on? And do you want to kick us off with your first, you know, thoughts of the year then, mate?
Yeah, I suppose. Gaming, really, for me, we've actually managed to get quite a bit in this year. And we've played for a fair amount of games, haven't we?
We have.
We're currently playing, what, Battlefield 2042? Which what came out last year, didn't it? But it was a bit of a mess on launch. So we didn't buy it, and then it came out on Game Pass a couple of weeks back, so we thought, give it a go. Actually, I've been enjoying it, I must admit. We're not playing the online, are we, where we get owned by 12-year-olds. But we've been playing the online kind of co-op. So me, you, a friend of ours with an extra box, teams of four, against other bots. And I've actually been thoroughly enjoying it. It's been good.
I have to agree with you. I had my doubts, if I'm honest with you, given you know, the recent Battlefield games. And I have to say, I've always enjoyed the Battlefield games, but I haven't bought one or played one for many, many years.
No.
I remember buying Modern Warfare 2 and thoroughly enjoying that and playing the single player and a bit of the online player. And kind of this popped up, as you say, on Game Pass. And we're like, well, let's give it a punt, you know?
And yeah, I think always like a co-op game.
Yeah, the fact that was the thing. The fact that there was co-op in it is what made it for us, wasn't it? We didn't have to go play PvP with, as you say, seasoned players and get ourselves completely utterly owned. We could enjoy it on a bot mission, you know, three of us playing together.
Yeah.
And you know what? It didn't feel like a bot game, did it? It really felt like a proper, like, you know, game. You know, the AI isn't perfect, of course, but it's not.
It's a little predictable.
It's a little predictable, but it makes it fun.
But it's good. Yeah,
it makes it a very fun game to play. I have to say, I agree with you. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. You know, the average match time is about, what, half an hour, 45 minutes?
Yep.
And you know what? It works for me. Works really well for me. So, yeah, I'm up for that, definitely. And definitely, I think if we can still get games like that on Game Pass, then we're heading in the right direction with how good it is.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, I think what the other ones we played, we've done Sniper Elite from a shooting point, didn't we?
Yep.
But we can't. That was really good. We played that game. We played that. The co-op wasn't so great, but as a single player, it was really good. I think we all kind of went through that in fairly quick time. I could do with some more content. I did hear some new content came out the other day, so I might pony up and buy that.
So there was some free content, though. Did you see that?
Oh, was it free? Was it? I thought it was DLC. And I thought, oh, maybe I'll buy that for Christmas and play it.
There's two. One of them was free, which was like a weapon pack, you know, to everybody.
Okay, yeah.
And then and the other one was a new skin.
There was a new map, and there was a new mission with maps and stuff that came out. I saw.
Yeah, I think that is
the DLC. Thank you.
Yeah. So the other stuff was kind of, you know, add-ons kit. But yeah, Sniper Elite 4. You know, again, I've played all of those. I paid good money for all of those in the years gone by. And you know, I think we said when we reviewed it earlier in the year, it was nothing had really changed on the premise of what was hit. You are a sniper. No. You go shoot things, move, shoot, move, shoot, move, shoot. Get stuck in a firefight, open fire, go very noisy. And it is a single player game. It's very good. The bullet mechanics are what makes it, you know, the gore cam, isn't it?
That's the bit that annoys me. I don't like that. I think it distracts from the actual immersion of the game. Every 5 seconds, it's going to a kill cam. I'm like, oh, this is boring now.
Oh no! See, I really enjoy that. See, that, you know, always. Don't get me wrong. It's not. It's sometimes you are like, this is ridiculous. But there are other elements actually where I think it's good. But to your point though about the kind of multiplayer that we played as a game co-op, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It didn't really work in my view. I think it was too. it just didn't, the game mechanics didn't work very well.
And the AI was questionable.
Oh God. How many times did we have like, you know,
climb over the dead bodies to be shot and added to the pile?
Well, it must have been like at one point we had such a clipping error because there must have been like hundreds and hundreds of AI bodies.
Yeah, my game just ground to a halt, didn't it? Every time we looked at the pile of bodies, it just went down to what, 2-3 frames a second?
Yeah, it wasn't great in that sense. But the game overall, though, very, very recommended. And I'm sure there'll be a Sniper Elite 5 at some point.
That was five.
No, sorry, I meant another one. Sorry, I was being stupid.
What else have we played this year? So we did Breakpoint and Wildlands, which is kind of a favourite. And then we've not played for a little while. Wildlands, was on Game Pass as well? So
it
was
a return
for you, wasn't it? But I'd not played Wildlands. Breakpoint was my first introduction to Ghost Recon. So we played a bit on Wildlands.
So Breakpoint, again, you know, was the successor to Ghost Recon Wildlands. Wildlands came out in late 17. I played that through, paid good money for it again, played it through, really enjoyed it. Breakpoint, as you say, was the successor. Again, I was playing that, and you got into that, didn't you, when it came out in Game Pass. And again, a single-player game goes very well. Very good game. You know, same sort of concept. You know, you're a team of Special Forces guys, the Ghosts, moving across this in Breakpoint, which is a kind of a weird island, isn't it? It's off the coast of South America, it kind of feels like, doesn't it?
Because I played it the other way around. I did Breakpoint first, then did Wildlands. There are so many hints in Wildlands to Breakpoint. But obviously, I suppose, the way you played it, you wouldn't have picked up on those because Breakpoint wasn't out yet.
No, there was lots of references to Skelltech.
There was, kind of stuff. Jason Skell and all that
As you're right, didn't kind of, you, it just meant you thought maybe that was just another protagonist and, something in the tech. And you're right, at the time, would have played the game. But you're right, when we got to Breakpoint, you're like, oh, how I see what they've done here. Very clever. You know, the storyline was clearly already written, wasn't it? And
it was.
Ready to go. In Breakpoint, you're right, lots of references in kind of the other way back to Wildlands as well that made, again, far more sense on both sides.
Definitely.
I think, you know, coming back to Wildlands for me a couple of years later showed up not the shortcomings of the game. In fact, I think Wildlands had some improvements over Breakpoint in terms of the maps and the playability. But I think, as you know, we've discussed before, Breakpoint probably had a bit more edge for the multiplayer, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. What else? Oh, we played some racing games. We had Horizon 5 launched, didn't we?
We did have Horizon 5.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. That's based in Mexico, but I don't think it's got the replayability that 4 did. I think, and that's probably because Horizon 4 was based in the UK, and I've been to places that were there, and I recognise places. I think that's why I kept coming back to it. Not to say that Horizon 5 is not a fantastic racing game, just haven't played it as much as what I did on number 4.
It's interesting you say that because I kind of was, I picked it up again the other night on the Xbox. I was in the house on my own.
Yeah.
And I played it half an hour. I just put it down. Not that I wasn't enjoying it. I just wasn't, I can't put my finger on it. Does that make sense? But
yeah,
I wasn't drawn to it in the same way before. And maybe you're right. Maybe there is that connection of, oh, I know this place.
Because it's the UK. It's like the big part of it's all around Edinburgh. It's like, I know that I've been there. I can recognise the streets. I'm never going to get down that street 200 miles per hour in real life, but I could do it in the game.
I think it's definitely a good game. I thoroughly enjoy it. And I do like the pickup. For me, it's a case of pick up and go. You know, I don't have to worry about trying to
a quick race or two and that's it. And I put it down. I come back to it later.
The only thing I will say is you and I've got to admit, we've had lots and lots of glitches.
Especially getting actual multiplayer games to work. So we're in a, what do they call it? They don't call it a team. They call it something else. A convoy. And we get a convoy and we're finally joined. And then we go to start a race and all of a sudden one of us disappears offline. Not that we're actually offline. It's just the game now thinks we're offline. And that's it. Try again. And then we usually give up and go to Wreckfest.
And Wreckfest has been a foundational game for us to always fall back on. It's not perfect, showing its age. The mechanics are a bit wonky.
Great fun, though. Unbelievable fun.
It's great fun, you know.
Just when you think you've won and then you come last.
Yeah, because everybody else has killed themselves or just destroyed themselves, I should say. very, very funny in that sense. What I will say is, you know, for Forza, though, I still think Forza is a phenomenal game. It's absolutely stunning as well.
Oh, it is, yeah.
in the gameplay. I mean, and the updates keep improving it, don't they? I mean, on the Xbox Series X, it just looks fantastic. I think on the PC, you know, you can't fault it. I was playing yesterday, last time I played the other day, and I had a couple of new cars, you know, from the... The gifting. And again, just, the lighting, it is really, really good. My concerns, I guess, are, like you are, playability and the DLC. We bought the premium pack, so we
got Hot Wheels for free, yeah. I don't know whether... I think the next one might be a bit more serious one. Hot Wheels is quite abstract. It was good fun. I could laugh, but I just go back to the main island.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that. Look, I'm not dissing it. I just think you're right. When we look at it with a bit of hindsight, phenomenal game, definitely 9 out of 10 all the way through. Yeah. But, coming back to it, playability, as you say... Yeah, maybe there's something there that we can't nail down.
I think number four just pulls on my heartstrings more just because it's something I know. I think it's the first game they've ever done in the UK, isn't it?
I think it was, yeah. But all round great game, though. All round great game.
Definitely. Which, I suppose, lines up what I'm looking for or looking forward to next year. So we've obviously got Forza Motorsport 8, or it's now just called Forza Motorsport, isn't it? Which is the serious side of Forza. Horizon's the fun and off-road crazy one. Motorsport's the simulation one. And that, the trailers I've seen for that look
stunning.
Unbelievably stunning. Yeah. So that's a true next-gen game. So very much looking forward to that one. Hopefully they've got the co-op sorted so me, you and our friend can all have some proper serious racing.
Is that what you call it?
Well, maybe.
The mechanics of Forza don't lend itself very well when you've been playing Forza 5. Because
I can just jump the barrier there and win, surely. No.
You're right, Motorsport or Forza 8, however we're going to call it this week, it's definitely attuned to the more serious racing, as you say. And the style of play that, we've been used to probably isn't suited to track. But, once you get into it, once you kind of remember where the breaking points are and you get on, it's a very good game. And the previous one, 7, I think held its own for a long time, didn't it?
You can't even download that anymore, number 7. They pulled that, didn't they, for some reason? I think it was licensing on the music, I imagine, or the tracks or the cars or something. Yeah,
but if you still owned if you still owned it.
As long as you haven't upgraded to a new Xbox and tried to download it again.
No, you're right. Very, very good. Very good in that sense. I'm looking forward to that. It's on the list, ready to go as soon as we drop.
What else have you got on your list?
So I've got a couple. So games you talked about, play, definitely. I've got some up and coming stuff I thought we'd talk about.
Yeah, go for it.
So because I thought you've done a really great job there talking about the games we've played. The only one we haven't mentioned is DCS, which of course we keep coming back to.
Of course, sorry. DCS. We do. Yeah, we need to play more of that. We really do.
2023, I think, is going to be the year of DCS for us. I've decided.
You're running on a new PC, isn't it?
Well, I'm hoping to get a new PC. I'm going to hopefully spend some money on some joystick mounts. And you and I both know that we may have a fourth additional player to our squadron.
Exactly. We might have an actual squadron.
Who comes in from... I won't name this person, but work colleague of ours who plays racing games, sort of semi-amateur professional, and who's now dedicated his time and money to moving to DCS.
He has a sim hit, so he's serious.
So this could be the way forward. But yes, definitely DCS. So what am I looking forward to then in the coming year? Well, I've got a couple of things jotted down. First off is Starfield.
So that was next on my list, Starfield. Yep.
So Starfield is probably it's single player, but Starfield to me looks to be the game of the year personally. If you haven't seen this, we talked about it when it was announced a few months ago. This is kind of Skyrim in space, isn't it? Really, I think it's the only way to describe it.
Yeah, basically.
So basically, you are in a galaxy or solar system set, about hundreds of years into the future in another galaxy away from ours. And there are different factions in the game and you are set as a character, which is I think the plot is something now you're 20 years after the last major war. So there's kind of peace, but you have a customizable character. Ooh, excuse me, coughing again, who is an explorer and you can play it however you wish, basically. So it's very similar to Skyrim. And the customization is, I think, what is kind of driving this forward, isn't it? Absolutely everything can be customized, even down to the ship that you fly in.
I was about to say, even the ship you can customize and add bits to, can't you, to make it your ship?
It is. And Bethesda have said that they've been working on this since they released Fallout 4. And I worked that out. That's 2015.
Yeah, well, this was due out 11th of November this year. So I was hoping we would be talking about how good a game it was, but now it's been pushed back to next year at some point.
Yeah, it's been pushed back to Q2 next year, I think is the official.
Is it Q2? I knew it was 2023, but wasn't entirely sure when.
I have to say, going by the, you know, the pre-production videos we've seen, the, you know, the early previews from people that have had a look at it,
yeah,
there's a lot riding on this. Now, my worry is, are we going to have another Cyberpunk? Part of me thinks no. There's a worry we could, but I think because of Microsoft wanting to make this as a flagship launch title, yeah, you know, next year for them, the fact it's coming out across the board on Windows and Xbox, they're going to want this to be playable from day one. So I think pushing it back to Q2 has probably allowed them to fix any issues they've got. And obviously single player as well. So there's a lot riding on this. It's not like you and I can jump in and have a co-op session. No. You know, this is going to be something you're going to have to want to kind of get into and live and breathe that well. But looks very good, doesn't it?
I might leave it for a month or so after launch just to iron out the bugs so I can then invest that time and it'd be smooth.
Okay, fair play. Okay. So then my next pick, talking of space, is Star Wars Jedi Survivor. This is the follow-on from Jedi Fallen Order, which is about the protagonist Cal Kestis, who is you know, one of the survivors after the events of, you know, the Star Wars plot. I was going to say, if you don't know what that is, my God. He's now grown into a full Jedi Knight, and you know, he's you know, working out how to go beyond his training and how he can save his friends. So now it's kind of an open world. Well, I say open world to a degree, a game that you can, you know, new planets, as well as familiar places, you know, new challenges, new skills to learn. And it's about, you know, it's about combat, really, you know, this exploration combat. There's some early videos at the moment.
Yep.
It was only announced the other day, and it comes out in March next year. So, but again, it looks very good. Fallen Order was a really good game, and I was going to buy it and I didn't. And then I got it on Game Pass, funnily enough. And I enjoyed playing it. It's quite a tricky game, I won't lie to you. It is, you know, it's one of those games that really makes you think. You know, it's not a you know, pick up a gun and run and shoot. It's kind of like, how do I get from A to B? Remember the old Tomb Raider style games where you'd be like,
yes,
you'd spend half a day of like, I can't work this out. How do I get across this ravine to that, you know, doorway, you know, 600 feet in the air, that kind of challenge.
And then you'd get across to be eaten by a dinosaur.
Yeah, exactly. And then eventually you discover you've got like backflip, jump off a wall, triple somersault.
Yep.
So no, that's it. So I got two more on my list, if that's all right.
Go for it, yeah.
So the other one on my list is, this is a kind of a wild card that I was reading about today, RoboCop Rogue City.
So they're doing a RoboCop game? I'm going to have to Google that one.
Coming out in June next year, or at least June next year. It's a part of a game from a publisher called Nacon. And right. There's some early screenshots that are available. And, you know, it looks good. You know, it looks like RoboCop. It's set in old Detroit. Oh. So it's before the events of RoboCop 3, definitely. There is even a Ed 209 in there.
I've just spotted that in the screenshots. Pretty good.
Yeah, so very early, you know, very early things. You know, right now it's, you know, basically share your interest. I love RoboCop. I remember playing RoboCop games on my friend's Amiga when we were at school. And, you know, just as always, I don't think there's ever been a RoboCop game done justice, you know? Why not? It's so ripe for a decent AAA title, you know, especially given today's tech. We can have an awesome game here. So I'm definitely looking forward to this. I don't want to say I'm going to be disappointed, but, you know, it's coming from a developer I've never heard of.
I'm adding it to my wish list.
A publisher that I've never heard of. But yeah, definitely that. So then my final pick then for upcoming games is KSP2, Kerbal Space Program 2.
Ah, of course.
Yep. I love Kerbal Space Program. I picked up Kerbal Space Program when it was in Early Access, before Early Access was even a thing, when you could buy it direct from the developer's website. Before it came out on Steam, it is absolutely the gold standard in space mechanics exploration games. if you've never played Kerbal Space Program, I dare you, go pick up a copy on Steam. You will resurface in about 6 weeks' time, wondering how the hell, you know, to you managed to get your Kerbals in orbit. And it's, you know, it's an amazing way to learn how to pilot craft in space, in low Earth orbit. Mm. You know, the achievement of landing one of these Kerbals, which are like the little people, on another planet is unbelievably, just, you can't take it away. There's so many hours, so many things you can do with rockets. Kerbal Space Program 2 again was a pushback. It takes it a lot further now, so it goes down to interstellar travel. So before, you were in this solar system, like, if you will, of Earth and other planets. They weren't called, they were like, there was the MUN instead of the moon, MUN.
Yeah.
All different kind of things, but they were kind of our solar system. Now you can go to interstellar travel. There's full multiplayer built in, which originally was, somebody modded that as an app. You could build colonies in space. It is absolutely phenomenal. But as I say, it's pushed back. It's now planned to be February next year. Yep. I would say, yeah, maybe it could be pushed back again.
Isn't this a new team? It's not the original team.
No, you're right. So it's Pirate Division who are the publisher. But the team that's building it now is called Intercept Games. Because if you may recall, Pirate Division got bought, didn't they? And I can't remember who it was who bought them. I'll have to try and... who was it? I think Take-Two bought them. I might be wrong that or maybe there was something else. There was something changed, I know that, there was, as you say. There was definitely a change there, is it? I think, though, Pirate Division, though, was spun out, though, of Take-Two. There is some weird connection, as you say, in there, and I can't remember exactly what it was. That was it. So, take it back, sorry. Take-Two have always been the publisher. The developers of Kerbal Space Program was Squad.
Yeah, okay.
Squad were the developer, and then with KSP2, it's now Intercept Games who have taken over. So Squad have gone on to do other stuff. They were a Mexican development team. Intercept Games are a new developer to this. They've done other stuff, but they're a new development team to it. That was it. So I knew I had it somewhere. KSP2 definitely is my other big pick for next year.
I have one left.
We've got one more. Go on then. Tell us what you got.
Now, I don't know whether this will be next year. I'm hoping it will, because it's been a long time coming. GTA 6. I will buy it 4 times on whatever consoles I have, just like I did with GTA 5. But you know what? GTA 5, I know, is very old in the tooth now. And I keep... what they're doing to it now is just crazy. They keep releasing a high-def version, a 4K version, and charging you again, which has got a bit silly. But I would like a new original storyline from them, because they're always very engrossing and very, very funny. And I'll lose many countless hours into it.
So I don't think we're going to see GTA 6 next year.
That's no, I suspect not, but I'd like to.
I don't think we're going to. So I'll rephrase that. I think we will see GTA 6 announced next year, but we will not see it next year. I agree with you. GTA 5 is exceptionally long in the tooth. It is a very old game. But you've got to take your hat off to Rockstar, because they keep releasing, as you say, these
versions. They have milked it for all it's worth.
It is the golden goose, isn't it, that it keeps on giving. Yep. And you know, it... I don't know, you say... you know, the whole online, right, single player, I think it's not finished, because I still like single player, but once you've done it and you've played it through different times, there's only so much you can do, isn't there? The multiplayer, they keep milking and milking. It is the golden goose. It keeps laying the egg, and people keep buying it, and as you say, the different high def versions they keep releasing as well. The other thing I'll say as well is that the mods that you can get for it, the other high definition mods, I mean, it is a stunning app. I mean, I have to say, I'm blown away at how good it can look. You know, you see some of those videos, it's unbelievable. You're like, is that really GTA 5? A game from
PlayStation 3, Xbox One game, yeah.
Unbelievable. But on the other hand, I'm done with it as well. And
see, I'm not bothered about GTA Online. I actually like the single one. I've played it through many, many times. I just like a new single player story. So GTA 6.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want. I want a brand new story. I want a new story. I like playing it. I didn't really like online. I won't lie to you.
Yeah, I played it for probably like a couple of hours. I went, no, not for me.
It's not for me either. I uninstalled it. I couldn't get engaged with it. I didn't like the fact of, like, again, like with all these games, you just die immediately because there's always some people who just spend all their living, breathing hours in there, and there's no way you can compete with them, is there? No. And it just becomes very difficult in that sense. But yeah, so GTA 6, I don't think we'll see it next year. That's my pun. I think an announcement next year. But there you go.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. So we've talked a lot about games then. So let's have a quick, what's been your films of the year, Carl, really quickly?
Well, I've written down three films that I thoroughly enjoyed. I think my film of the year, though, you'll guess this one, has to be...
Oh, hang on. Let me think. It was Pinocchio.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. The Del Toro one, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, Christ.
No, Top Gun Maverick. It's my film of the year. I've watched it many times now. It's just as good, if not better than the first one. And that might be sacrilege, I'm saying that, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. They've done the first one justice.
It was very good. It was very, very good.
Mm-hmm. I know you've watched it a number of times.
I have as well. And I watched Top Gun again the other night. And yep.
Don't they look so young?
They do. But you know what's so clever about it? Because now I know Maverick, we've seen Maverick. It just takes it to another level.
Yeah.
And I actually was really impressed of how well they've kept the story into it.
Oh, yeah. They tie so many bits together. Yeah, it's been a long time coming, hasn't it? Because one was the original Top Gun out.
Yeah, very, very good.
So it's been, what, a good 30 plus 86, years easily?
86, mate. 86.
So we're talking nearly, 37 years between the first and the second one. So they've had a long time to perfect this script. And they've done it really well.
They have. Yeah, definitely. So I don't think there's much more you can say there, is there, really?
No, not at all. My next one up, I don't know if you've got around to watching this yet, Bullet Train.
No, I haven't, but...
You need to watch it.
I know of it, yeah.
To me, this is... It's very much like Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels or Snatch. It's got that kind of feel to it. But it's set on the train in Japan with Yakuza and that kind of stuff. It's just very, very good and very funny. I don't want to spoil people, but Jay, you need to go and watch Bullet Train.
Right, point made.
You need to watch it. It's just really, really good.
Okay, point made.
What about you? Any films for you? I have one last one left. Which I wasn't expecting to be good. Was okay. Prey. This is the...
Oh, I've got that on my list.
Prequel to Predator.
Yeah, that's on my list. Yeah.
It's on your list, yeah. I just... It kind of snuck up on me. I wasn't expecting it to be any good, to be honest. I sat down, both me and my wife, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a really, really good take on it.
I have to agree with you 100%. I wasn't too sure. I was like, oh, God, after the last few Predator films,
I was like, here we go. And she didn't even want to watch it, but I just put it on because I'm nothing better on TV. And she got engrossed in it, and we both thoroughly enjoyed it.
The storyline was brilliant. The whole plot aspect of it was great, and it wasn't over-egged. There were some nice little Easter eggs as well.
Yes,
into the previous films. I have to say, I think it was very, very well done. It was a great way. Forget the chronological order of the films in the date they were released. In the terms of the chronological story of Predator, it was a great introduction to Predator on Earth. And I think it really worked. And I have to say, I'd like to see what they do next in the franchise, not necessarily as a Prey 2, but in the franchise.
And I think they've got, for me, is obviously I watched it in English, but they actually recorded the film twice. They did it in English and they did it in Comanche, didn't they?
I believe they did, yes. I haven't seen that, but I was aware of that.
And not dubbed. They actually filmed each scene twice, basically. One's in English and one's in Comanche.
Very, very good. 100% great film. And I think, a worthy addition to the franchise.
Definitely. So what have you got on your list that I haven't spoken about?
So down on my list, bear with me, Squire. I have got down Jurassic World Domination. Dominion. Can't
remember. Dominion, okay, it. Yep.
I just want to say, closing out the Jurassic World franchise, it was good, but I'm going to be honest and say, it was like a Michael Bay film. It was like, you know, how many things can they destroy?
I forgot that even came out, to be honest. I mean, I watched it. I'm sure I enjoyed it at the time, but I haven't gone back and watched it again.
No. The other one I've got down is the Elvis film that came out this year.
That was a
Baz Luhrmann film. So if you know Baz Luhrmann from Moulin Rouge and all that, very good story about the story of Elvis taking up to pretty much his death. And it was more about Colonel Tom Parker, who was his manager, played by Tom Hanks. It was more about his story, funnily enough, than
Elvis's,
I got a couple of kind of wild cards as well. The other one was Nope. So this was the Jordan Peele horror film.
Okay,
We did. We saw the trailer for it. We went to see Maverick about the cowboys and the horses, and it was a family of Hollywood horse people.
It's that one. Yes, I remember it. I've not watched it, but I remember the trailer. Now.
Yeah, and it's got like a weird alien. I won't want to spoil it for anybody. It's got like a weird alien concept about it. And I was watching it on a plane, and it was almost kind of, it was such a slow burn. You know, you're like, is it ever going to get anywhere? But actually, when it got to the end, you're like, I never saw that coming. It was a proper like, whoa, didn't see that one, you know? But yeah, very, very good in that sense. And then I think my final pick, if I just having a look at my notes, where did I put it? Where did I put it? Because was one that we watched with the... Oh, no, sorry. No, there was the other one. Was Batman. The Batman, I should say. I the reason I'm bringing this up is, to me, there's no patch on off Chris Nolan. Okay.
Yeah.
But what I will say here is it was a very good film.
Yes, we did watch it. I thought it was too long, probably by half an hour. Because was it a three hour plus film, wasn't it?
And it was so dark. So dark.
Yeah, yeah. Crank the contrast up on the old TV.
but as films go, I thought it was a very good film in that sense. And I think, you know, they're clearly going to want to do more off the back of it. But
yeah, I think so.
The final thing I just wanted to add, the other one I watched the other day, was Troll.
You did mention it. I've not watched it yet. It's on my to-watch list.
So if you want a good film, it is a PG-13 or PG-12, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's Norwegian with English, so there are some subtitles in there. It's fantastic. It's a classic, old-fashioned action film. You know, plot's a bit wonky in places, but it's a great film to watch. Full Norwegian cast, great story. You know, just, you know, full on traditional action. CGI is quite good. I would say go ahead and watch it. It's really, really funny. Not in a kind of hilarious funny way, but you know, make you laugh funny.
Ah, good. Very good. Yeah. So try and watch it over Christmas.
I'm going to take a drink while you do the next
one. Go for it. All right. So before we talk about gadgets and stuff that we bought or we want for, you know, next year, I thought I'd have a quick roundup of the tech we've talked about. Also, the tech news that we've talked about over the last year. I thought I'd start with Twitter because has been a year and a half. So we started with, will he buy it? Won't he buy it? And the whole saga with the lawsuit and stuff to force him to buy it, and then him eventually just going, oh, you know what, I'll buy it anyway. It's just been carnage, hasn't it? We've had the layoffs. He's been firing anyone that disagrees with him in private or in public. They launched Twitter Blue, then cancelled it, then launched it again. We've had the code reviews, haven't we, where basically print out your code, your top 10 code contributions for the year, and bring them up to the 10th floor or whatever it was. He's recently been banning journalists, hasn't he? And anyone who links to competitors' websites and then changing his mind 12 hours later again. And the last one, this was brilliant. So I'm not sure if this was planned or whether it went the way he thought, but he put out a poll that said, should he step down as his role as CEO? And he will actually honor it, he said. Well, he lost 57.5 to 42.5 that people want him to step down. So we're still waiting to see what actually happens and will he step down. The last I heard is he will step down when he finds someone stupid enough to take the role. That wasn't the word he used. Competent enough, I think he said. But
foolish enough.
Foolish enough, he actually said, to take the role. I don't know whether that was planned. It was off the cuff and it didn't work out how he expected, but it made me laugh.
He said he needs to find somebody foolish enough to run Twitter. See, to me, that's just like he's trying to weasel out a bit now. Yeah, exactly. He's got no interest in genuinely following through, I don't think, on this. And for him, it's just a kind of another poll. He'll find a way to weasel out of it. I have no doubt whatsoever. And whoever takes over from him, it's like drinking from a poison chalice, because you're going to have him breathing down your neck every 2 minutes.
Yeah. Even if he wasn't the CEO. Yeah, exactly. And you were, he would be. You're just a puppet, and you know, he's a puppet.
You are
master.
A puppet on a string, yeah, exactly.
And you'll just take all the flack and get nothing for it.
No, what I can say is I never would have thought Twitter would have gone the way it has. It disappoints me massively because I do like Twitter. I've made some, you know, friends, perhaps as acquaintances through Twitter.
Yep.
And you know, it's just I like the site. I get there's lots of good news on there. There's lots of good information. You know, you can find out things. Yep. I'm struggling to get into Mastodon. I won't lie to you about that. I think we need to talk more about Mastodon in January.
Yeah, if you head around it more, it's Twitter uses a lot of algorithms to push stuff that they think you're like into your feed and prioritize them. Whereas Mastodon is very much you follow someone and you just get whatever they say come into your feed.
But yeah, Mastodon, I'm struggling to engage with. If that makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll pick up Mastodon definitely in the next. In the next few weeks, yeah, that's probably
about definitely. What were the other big ones of the year? So yeah, the Microsoft Activision deal. So I looked back from my notes. That started in January.
Yeah,
that was announced in January, and it's still ongoing. And we probably won't get a decision one way or the other till next year, maybe, hopefully.
Hopefully.
I don't know. So yeah, and then it was a whole lot of new hardware this year actually. So we had Nvidia's 4000 series or 40 series, didn't we?
Yep.
Which are technically very good, extremely power hungry, ridiculously expensive. The cheapest one is $1,200. But stock isn't a problem because no one wants to pay that much for them. So you can quite happily go to your nearest site and just buy a 4080 or a 4090. We've had AMD's 7900 series just launched, didn't we? Those are impossible to buy. They're cheaper than Nvidia, not as fast, and not as technically advanced, but they're a big jump up from the last generation. So hence why there's no stock of those anywhere. Then we had the Intel Arc, didn't we? So I didn't think about that in months, actually.
No, they've gone very quiet, very quiet.
So they kind of, should we call it soft launched? Maybe. There are apparently cards you can buy. They're not very good, apparently. I think they're kind of 30-50 kind of performance, their top end one. So maybe next year we'll get some faster ones.
I think we will. I think Arc, they've probably done, I think it's just, we said it before, it's a soft launch, isn't it? You know, it's a soft launch, getting out about and building up, you know, the portfolio. And I suspect we will see the bigger launch of them next year. In fact, I'm very hopeful we do, because you and I have both got our hearts set on a 770 as a processing card for our...
to stick in our Plex servers, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, look, I'm not disappointed in what they've done, but I think, yeah, Intel are playing a very calculated game here with that.
I just feel that it was very much big bang. Look at us, look at all the stuff, and then it's just gone silent.
Yeah.
And they've not continued that momentum. But yeah, maybe more for next year. What else did we get? So we got the new Ryzen 7000 series and the Intel 13th gen. Both very, very good processors. Extremely, extremely fast. Some eat more power than the other by a considerable amount. But I think if you had one of these in your systems, as long as you can pay the electricity, you'd be very, very happy.
I think you would. Yeah, I think, yeah, right. The power usage is what's going to take them, is what's causing the biggest issue, I should say, with them. But yeah, you know, that's the way. I'm afraid that's the way the market's going, isn't it, right now? Everything sucks power.
Oh, it does. It does. But again, I think the shortages of tech in general has gone down. It's not as bad. You know, we've got new fabs coming online as well. Lots of fab announcements this year, haven't we? Intel, TSMC, a lot of stuff over in America being built. Fabs being expanded over in Taiwan. And hopefully, you know, this will drive down that problem with the stock shortages even more. So hopefully better days are ahead of us.
I think so. I think by the first half of next year, I would suspect a lot of the backlog will have lifted. You know, you're right. Things are getting out. You know, things are shipping quicker. Let's take a good example of that. It's the Steam Decks. You know, look at those from Valve. There was concerns that they wouldn't meet it, but they've been shipping really quickly now. So
I think you can just go on and buy one now, can't you? Have it delivered within like a week.
No, I think you're right. I think we're seeing a lot more, a lot of freeing up of some of the previous issues. So no, I think in that sense, you're right. The supply chain issues still exist, but yeah, slowly but surely, things are coming down the line.
We did, yeah. And of course, we can't forget Apple. We got the M1 Ultra chip, didn't we? Which was their big silicon.
Which I made a mistake last week, sorry. So when we talked about this Extreme chip, and I said about the Mac, sorry, I was right. Sorry, you were right. It was the Ultra was the top of the line, which was quad maxes in an Ultra. And the Extreme was going to be quad ultras, isn't it?
Quads or two? I can't remember what it was, but it got insane. Way,
so I apologize for my error last week.
But yeah, that was the big reveal from Apple, and what a chip. And obviously they then revealed and put it in the studio, didn't they? And I was reading an article the other day. I'm not sure whether Apple will actually ever bring a new Mac Pro out, or should they? Considering the power of the studio, the only thing you'd really be missing is that expandability, and at what cost to get it.
So we probably should talk about this. It's going to be something we're going to talk about a little before, but you're right. It could be that Apple may not release the Mac Pro, but yes, that's going to be a story for January.
They did pull some metrics up, didn't they? Yeah, we bent the story. We'll leave that for January then. Yeah,
but yeah, on your point though, your point is true. I very much doubt we're going to see one.
No, I suppose the last big tech news for this year, I think this is going to have more of an effect definitely going forward for next year, but we've already seen some of the effect this year, is the EU's Digital Services Act. Oh. Obviously, this is going to upset Apple a lot. Actually, a lot of companies a lot. Obviously, we'll talk about this next year, but we'll imagine we're going to see third-party app stores, side-loading, all sorts of stuff. We've already seen the stuff about the payment processors, haven't we? But Digital Services Act is going to be felt everywhere in the tech industry.
Yeah, it's going to reverb across the industry, definitely.
And across the world, because no one's going to go, you know what, I'm going to just not sell in Europe.
No, of course you can't.
Apple's not going to do that. Google's not going to do it. Microsoft, nobody in their right mind is going to cut out Europe as somewhere to sell their products. So they're all going to get on board. A chance of you put all that work in, are they then going to do it differently elsewhere now? Probably not.
Probably not. But no, so I think you're right. There we have, that's probably the big stories of the year. The other one obviously was Broadcom.
Yes.
And yeah, that now is now going to, so the UK, I know we weren't going to do it, but I guess it's a kind of a recap on that. We've got the CMA here in the UK investigating it, not from prices, are they, but from a hardware issue. But now the EU Commission has actually turned around and say they are investigating it for a pricing commission, aren't they?
There are many fronts they've been investigated on. So, yeah, I'm still not convinced that one's going through.
No, I don't.
Any other news stories?
No, I think that's probably the big stories of the year, as you say. We've spoken a lot about different things, but yeah, definitely those ones that have rumbled on. Apple Epic has been kind of the background, hasn't it, to all of these stories.
So what about gadgets then? Let's
talk about gadgets then. So I've got a couple on my list.
Go for it.
So, these are kind of left field. So first of all, Steam Deck. We've all talked about Steam Deck. I haven't bought one yet.
It was on my list too.
I keep talking to people who've got one. I had a conversation with someone the other night who's got one, and this part of me keeps coming back to it. You're like, oh, I don't want to buy the money. But I'm like, it's such a great bit of kit, but I can't justify in my head where would I use it.
Well, I know where you'd use it, and you're going to hate me for this, but we've got a trip to Vegas at some point, haven't we? So maybe it could keep you entertained for the 10, 11 hour flight or whatever
it is. Well, that's it. Yeah, I was going to say, because that's about the only time. Because in the evening, you know, of course, I'll be...
drinking.
I'll be tucked up in bed, you know.
Of course you will. Getting over your jet lag.
Yeah, you know, so that's about the only time. But it's a very small screen on that long flight. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe you should buy yourself some of those glasses things you put over that make it look like you've got a cinema screen in front of you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But yeah, so the Steam Deck is definitely on my list. I have a feeling I will give in at some point.
But will you buy a new gaming PC before that, though? Where's the priority here?
New gaming PC is definitely coming, and I'm not going to touch on that now because we've talked about it before and it's going to come up in a future show. But yeah, new game PC. So the other tech I've got down here is a couple of things. So I've got three other bits of tech, two are related. So you and I have been talking recently about, I've been saying I've wanted to get a new tablet. Now, not a new iPad, but something for writing notes on, because I use an iPad Pro, and I use the pencil, and it's great. But the iPad Pro is very heavy, and you know,
and big,
it does a good job. So I've been looking at this tablet called the Remarkable 2, which is a great e-ink tablet called which is basically, as they brand it, next generation paper. Very thin, 4.7 millimeters, allows you to use a pen. It's marketed from £299.
You don't get a pen.
Off the bat of it, sounds like a fantastic deal. The reality is, it's going to cost you basically £600 if you want to buy one. Now, you're probably thinking, what? Well, yes, £299 gets you the tablet, but the tablet is useful if you don't have the pencil or what they call the marker. So they do a fit. They do a basic one at £60, which has no built-in eraser. They don't need charging. They're completely like that. They're like a bit like the Apple Pencil, but without the charging side of it.
Yes.
If you want one that erases with a special eraser on the side, that's £109. That's nearly double the price of the previous one. So you need to have a marker with it, because obviously you can't read, can you? So let's apply the marker. Perfect. So do I need a case for it? Well, it's probably not a bad idea, is it, to have a case?
It's a big screen and a very thin device. Need some protection.
They do a folio case, which doesn't actually fold, which basically allows you to slot the thing into it. So it's more of a pocket. That's £70. But if you want one that folds over and protects the screen as well, that's 120 all the way up to 140 if you go for the black leather. So let's just go for a grey one. So that's 119. So now my £299 tablet is now £527.
Ooh, that is an investment.
So the problem is, it's a great bit of kit. It allows you to scribble on everything, PDFs. It's an ebook reader. You can use their connection software to export the PDFs. It doesn't have importation into OneNote or Evernote that I can see at the minute. So it's a weird thing. Now, on the other hand, I also discovered this week the Kindle Scribe. So Amazon have introduced their Kindle Scribe, which is a 10.2-inch Kindle. It's got a 300 ppi Paperwhite display, what they call Paperwhite, like their e-ink.
Yep.
16 gig of memory, all the way up to 64, depending on how you want to pay for it. You get a pen with it.
Okay, that's a good start.
So that's,
does it have an eraser?
No, that's £329. If you want the one with the premium pen, that's £360.
Still, that's considerably cheaper than the Remarkable 2.
Yeah, so that's 16 gig. And let's be honest, it's e-ink. And if you're just going to use it for notes,
text,
16 gig
and drawings
is a lot of space. Even if you're using it for e-books, 16 gig is a lot of space. Okay. I really like it. The reviews are mixed, though, because it doesn't quite have the same... the paper, the Remarkable, apparently is like the gold standard for kind of writing. It feels like
paper. But from what I was reading about the Remarkable, we get the writing is and the hardware is great. The ecosystem is not so good, and the way it integrates with your workflow is a bit lacking.
Exactly. The Scribe from Amazon, next year they're releasing Microsoft integration, so you can directly annotate Word documents and post them back. Apparently, you can also annotate PDFs, but they have to be PDFs that you've imported through the Center Kindle.
Center Kindle, yep.
Not PDFs that you've loaded by USB-C.
Okay, well, the Center Kindle is just basically emailing your unique address, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm kind of torn. I really would like to try the Kindle Scribe and go through that. you know, especially from a money perspective, but it's still a lot of money.
But how did Amazon do returns? You can probably return that in 30 days and say you didn't like it.
Well, it's returnable. So if you buy it now, let's say I bought it for Christmas, you can return it at the end of January.
Okay, so you've got some time to play with it and see what you think. Which yeah, you couldn't really do with Remarkable 2.
Yeah, it's tempting. But Remarkable 2, I just can't justify it. It's really annoyed me. I'm still kind of on the fence about an iPad M2 Pro, you know.
You discounted the idea of getting the iPad Mini then? Because the new one supports the... discounted that one. Okay.
I just thought in the end I might as well just wipe out my iPad Pro and replace the whole bloody thing. But that said, but anyway, but the Kindle Scribe's kind of in there. So that's the big tech for me that I'm looking forward to next year. Right. The other bit of tech I want to share before I finish up on my side is I bought myself this week a thing called a Food Marble.
Oh, yes, yes.
So this is called a Food Marble Air 2, spelled A-I-R Air 2, and it is a digestive breath tester that measures the hydrogen and methane content of your breath. So it looks around fermentation in your gut around the food you eat. And you're thinking, what the hell? So I've got some medical issues around, you know, sort of gut problems. You know, we don't need to go into here. But this little device helps me log food, track my symptoms, check my breath against these hydrogen and methane around the fermentation, and identify trends of foods that are causing me additional discomfort and things. And also allows me to then take that information to the doctor as well. Nice. It was 189 quid. They do two models. This is the Air 2. This does methane as well as hydrogen. The other one is, I think, I can't remember now. It's cheaper, I think, if I remember. It's got an app on the App Store, charges by USB-C, so it's perfect. And actually, it's a great bit of kit for my health. That's a bit of a random piece of, you know, purchase in this last week. It's a birthday present for myself.
Nicely done. I'm interested to see how that one goes.
So that's for me. That's my final roundup of tech then. So what's the goal of this?
Well, I didn't have much on mine. Steam Deck, obviously. I want a new graphics card. Do I just buy a whole new PC? I don't know. I'm in mixed minds about this one. One of the big thing is I just had a 3D printer arrive.
Oh, you did?
The other week. Yes, my Anchormate M5. I was a Kickstarter backer, so I got a very tasty discount on it, which was good. But what I've done so far, it's a fantastic machine. Very, very quick. I've had some issues with bed adhesion, but I think it's just because I haven't actually cleaned the stuff. Adhesion? I haven't cleaned the stuff, the bed down, okay? So when I put I've got two beds, changeable. When I put the other one on, the next print went absolutely fine. So I've ordered a load of, is it isopropanol alcohol stuff to clean it down? Yeah, clean it down with. That's the stuff. I'm down a rabbit hole. I'm ordering all these bits. So I've got that now, but at the same time, I also bought what they call the color engine. And that's not going to arrive till next June or July, I think, which is it's a cabinet that sits next to it. And you can load up six spools of different colors. And it's got a new hot end that goes onto the 3D printer and allows you to do multicolored prints. So you can have different parts, green, red, whatever you want, and it'll print them all in one go. So no need to manually change the filament. You just load them all up, print it in color, and it does all the rest for you. But say, not going to be here till next July, so a ways to wait for that one.
That's a while, isn't it?
Yeah, it says July on their website, but I think that's non-Kickstarter people. I think it might be May, but it's still a while to go for the Kickstarter backers.
Okay, interesting. I have to say, you know, what you showed me, the prints, the build quality of the machine looks fantastic. You know, I've got a Krilty 3D over here. I had to build a camera for it, put it on side. Yours comes with all the stuff that I basically modded on mine. But your build quality is it. The auto-leveling base on yours, by the way, I'm extremely jealous of. I think, you know, early days, this color changer is fantastic because for me, I'd have to get a whole new spool out. I'd have to change, you know, all of that. All that kind of stuff. So I have to say, you know, I'm really interested to see what goes on with this.
The software is still in beta. There are some notable bugs. The hardware itself is very well done. My only criticism might be that the camera built in could be do with being placed higher up. Okay. Just because it's attached to, I suppose, the gantry bit that goes up and down. But it's at the bottom of it. So on the right-hand side, there's a whole touchscreen, and it's at the very bottom of the touchscreen. Just put it at the top. I think you get a better angle about the print you're seeing. At the moment, it's very horizontal, and you've got to get the angle on it.
Okay.
And the bit they talk about AI, being able to detect when there's faults with your print, just doesn't work properly at the moment. I turned it off.
Yeah, but that's early days, isn't it?
It is. They'll get better. I mean, the amount of times I had alerts saying, so something wrong with your print, I wander out to the office, have a look and go, nope, it's absolutely fine. So turn that one off for now until they get it fixed.
But I think you should say, great bit of backing there. You know, nice bit of kit. I'm very impressed to see what you've done. For me, though, it's definitely the colour change that's going to be.
Yeah, that'll be really, really good when that arrives. So I'm excited about that one. I've also got all the colours turning up in January. But obviously, I can't put them all in the printer. Well, I can use them individually, but I'm going to save them for the for when the colour change arrives in May or whenever it is.
Okay, very cool. Very nice.
But yeah, that was it for me, Hardware. I mean, I've backed a few other Kickstarters, so we'll see where they go. I backed a Universal Remote.
What?
Well, right. I say, in our house, everything is run from Kodi. And not for illegal purposes. It's a very good end client. We have a SAT-IP converter for our Freeview. It's put into a server and distributed all around the house to the Kodis. It's hooked up to a Plex backend for our movies, our TV shows, etc. So it's the center of everything, okay? And finding a decent remote control is very hard to do. And the kids lose them, etc. And then, depending on the volume, if I change over to iPlayer on the TV, then I should adjust the volume. I thought a nice universal remote control does everything. Now, I have not spent a lot of money on it. It's done by the people who made, have you heard of Flurk? That's an IR receiver from the Media Player days or Media Center days. They're still around. They may still make IR receivers, but they've come out with the first universal remote. Looks very good. It's about £40. If it doesn't work out, I'm not really going to lose anything. But it's also cheap enough that if it is quite good, I can buy a few more of them and not break the bank.
Okay, interesting. Okay, I'm interested to see how that comes along. I do like Kickstarter. They do have some interesting things, don't they?
They do, yeah.
So, anything else on your list?
No, that's it for the moment. I'm all shopped out with Christmas.
I'm all shopped out with Christmas, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. For me, the only other thing I had down was kind of a new... brain is not engaging. VR headset, along with all the other PC stuff. But yeah, those are kind of the new tech. Well, that one remote looks very impressive, I have to say. I have to see the link there. Very, very impressive. We'll have to add that to the show notes.
Give it a go, yeah.
Awesome. So then, I think to finish up then, Carl, you know, looking ahead to next year then, really, kind of, you know, thoughts and things on anything, you know, big coming up, anything, you know, we haven't talked about?
No. Trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, Twitter's just going to go on and on. I mean, does it implode? Does he step down? Do they eventually sort themselves out? It's anyone's guess at this point. I can't predict this one. I suspect it's going to be more mayhem.
I think it is, yeah.
But yeah, I'm interested to see what happens at CES in January.
Definitely.
Lots of new gadgets.
One of our updates, isn't it, once the CES show comes out. The only thing I was going to say was Lego-wise, I really have got my eye on the Eiffel Tower Lego.
That's huge. It's like over a metre, isn't it?
5 foot, I believe. Yeah.
5 foot, wowza.
I saw a picture of it in real life, not a promo shot, but actually a real life picture of it in the Apple store somebody sent me on the other day. And it's like, you're like, oh my God, where would I put it? Let alone, you know,
to move some furniture around.
I have so many things on my Lego wish list. We haven't got enough time to talk about all of them, but yeah, definitely Lego is way up there for me in terms of the things coming this year. So then I think it's probably a good place for us to wrap up for today. So I want to wish you, everybody who's listening to us this year and in the future, you know, very happy holidays and all the best for the new year. Hope if you're listening to this in 2023, then I hope you've had a great holiday season and a happy new year. And, you know, we'll be back with our first show of the year in the first week of January with all of the latest show notes. We've got updates already listed for crypto, Apple, we've got Epic, we've got Microsoft, we've got all kinds of stuff, and I'm sure there'll be more news that comes out in the next week or so. But for us, we're going to have a week's downtime, and we'll be back, as I say, fully refreshed to kick off episode 118 in January. So I've been Jay.
I've been Carl. Have a happy holidays all.